listener production.
It's like a tradie posting a view of their construction site with the caption, "Office for the day." From wherever you are right now, it's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast.
Oh, there was a few sad eyes around New York recently when a 340-kilogram alligator from a house in upstate New York was being kept illegally in a swimming pool. And it's just been taken away by authorities. But here's the catch.
Wait, so why were people sad?
Well, because this is the person's pet. It's the owner, Tony Cavallaro, said he's had the pet since the 1990s. And the only reason why it was illegally kept is because his license to keep the alligator lapsed in 2021 and he hadn't updated it yet. But Louis, the alligator,
had blind... Why didn't he go and get it updated?
He just said they changed laws and he didn't catch up with them. But Louis the alligator, so the homeowner, had built on an addition to his home and installed an in-ground pool for the 3.4-metre long reptile.
3.4?
Yeah, 3.4 metres long. He allowed children to go swim in the pool and pat it.
With the alligator?
Yep. The alligator has blindness in both eyes, spinal complications and other health issues. But the owner reckoned that he was adamant that he loved it more than a child, loved it like it was his own kid, and he'd never put anyone in danger.
You put children in a pool with an alligator.
Yeah, but apparently he said
that's scary enough. You know when you're playing as a kid and you pretend there's an alligator or a shark in the pool with you? That's scary enough, let alone there's a blind, in pain alligator swimming around next to you.
Yeah.
It's like Marco Polo, literally, with an alligator.
Well, anyways, the alligator is now in a licensed caretaker's possession until a place can be found where it could receive permanent care.
Yeah. Has that person got a license to have kids swim around the alligator with it?
I don't know, but look, let's make today's intro snappy, hey, and get into the real thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, thank you. We've got a little bit of morning tea for you. We've got, possibly one of Australia's sixth favourite game shows. And also, Alex Dyson is singing for his supper. This is a massive Tuesday for you. It's Matt and Alex All Day Breakfast. Hope you're having a good one.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Alex Dyson, I don't know if you were watching the Oscars last week when John Cena made headlines.
Oh, yeah, he wandered out in the nude, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did.
In the nutty.
Yeah.
He was Starkers. He was in his birthday suit. He was, I can't think of it anymore.
Yeah, it was part of the presentation for Best Costume Designer, maybe?
Right.
And it was just a bit of a gag, I think, that, you know, someone nude would go out instead of dressed up. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Now, I'm actually across John Cena because in 2006, I auditioned for a movie called The Marine, which was John Cena's first breakout role from WWE.
So he did WWE, and one of his backstories was he was not only like an Olympic gold medalist, wasn't he, in wrestling, but also was in the armed forces?
Yes, yeah, so I believe that that's what sort of ended up. Oh, he's also a rapper, by the way. So maybe I'm disappointed.
No one's meaner than Cena.
I don't know if he did end up going. I don't know if he ever was actually a Marine. Oh, you're talking about the movie?
No, I thought he was in the armed forces, but maybe it was just the wrestler thing. Maybe it's just he wears camouflage clothes and there's that meme that you can't see John Cena's body.
Anyways, look, I didn't get the role and instead I ended up as policeman number 3 in Kane's breakthrough movie, See No Evil. Have I not told you about my starring role in See No Evil?
I did not hear from you or the Academy about your role in the wrestler Kane's starring role in the film See No Evil, no.
Yeah, See No Evil. It was filmed on the Gold Coast / Brisbane.
The problem is they bloody missed an opportunity because John should have been in that and it's called See No Evil.
You know what it was actually called? I'm not joking. They ended up calling it See No Evil, but originally this is the working title for it. It was called The Ice Cream Man.
The Ice Cream Man.
As in Ice Cream Man.
Oh, the Ice Cream Man.
Yes.
Wow, okay. And was Kane playing Kane? Like the wrestler who had a mask on and would choke slam people.
Kane plays a guy called Jacob Goodnight. And I play big policeman. I wasn't even supposed to have any. The director was actually a guy called Gregory Dark, who had previously produced directed porn films. I believe.
Yeah.
And the film
Pina Evil.
I wasn't. He was the director of Hootamania. And the Crease Master's Wife.
Wait, is that a porn title or a real title?
I don't know, but I think it's an adult. I think it's an adult movie.
Never heard that of someone being, slayer in the bedroom, calling themselves the Crease Master.
Well, you tell me whether this title sounds like a porn movie. Between the Cheeks, Volume 2. All right, Backdoor Bonanza 12.
No, these are just South Park fake names of shows, surely.
No, White Bun Busters. 1986 White Bun Busters.
Oh, boy.
So anyways, these are actual things. Shout out to Gregory. No, seriously, shout out to Gregory because he gave me my first role. I'm not even joking.
That's it. And we've all started somewhere. We've all started somewhere. And to be able to make that transition, very few people can do it.
Well, I was just playing an extra, and then he walked past my window and he said, "How's your American accent?" And I said, "It's good, sir." And then he said, "All right, just say some words to get people to move out of the way." So I was like, "Done, bruv."
Yep.
And then they yelled action. I got out of my car. I was like, "Everybody out of the way. Move, sir. Move. Get out of the way, please.
Yep.
Get out of the way." So anyways, that's my lines. Now, John Cena, have you heard about the... So people got up in arms about the nudity thing.
Like, we're jumping back to the Oscars now.
Yeah, because did you hear about, like, people were saying, oh, John Cena has reached this point in his career. Have you heard about this, Daiso? Have you heard about this?
What, reached the point in his career where he's presenting an award at the Oscars?
No, he's doing it nude. And do you know what this is about? It's what they call the humiliation ritual.
Right.
Ever heard of this?
I have never heard of the humiliation ritual.
Well,
although, is that
a film
by that director?
This. Volume 7. No, it. Okay, so this is a theory. This is a conspiracy theory among people that believe that Hollywood is controlled by the elite and to ensure yourself everlasting success in Hollywood, the elite that control the players in the game will require them to humiliate themselves at some point.
All right.
In order to, win over their trust. So this is the most common.
If you were with us, you'd do this in front of all these A-list celebrities, you would get your kid off.
Yeah, now the most common thing, and it was most recently brought up by a comedian called Cat Williams on the Joe Rogan podcast, is that the most
was
common
that her task
no, this
to
is a guy.
Be humiliated? Kat, or?
No, this is a guy.
Okay, no. Yeah, sure, go on.
Cat's a guy, by the way.
Was that his humiliation ritual to go on that podcast? Or?
Oh, I don't know if you can make enemies of Joe Rogan, Alex, so... You go for it. But
no, it's going with Ronnie Cheng's technique of like you talk crap about someone way bigger than you, then either they respond and bring you up to their level or they've just got to sit there and take it.
Well, look.
So there you go, Joe. You can take that, mate. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, brother.
The ball is in your court,
I was insinuating,
Joe,
that being a guest in your podcast is humiliating for all involved. So... There you go, mate. What are you going to say to me? Come on. Come on, Joe. Come on.
So, Kat was saying that basically one of the biggest indications of the humiliation ritual is black comedians dressing up as women. He said that he will never do it and that it's been done by so many black comedians and that is all part of their humiliation ritual.
Well, I watched Coming to America the other day. Arsenio Hall.
Classic. Yeah.
Dresses up at one point.
Oh, well, there you go.
Big Mama's House.
Oh, there you go.
Would you count white chicks in that?
Oh, you certainly would. I mean, would you count Matt and Alex dressing up as Sia and Chet?
Oh, that was your humiliation ritual, mate.
Do you remember getting the call from the Illuminati?
Oh, we did. We got on the phone with the I think it was the secretary of the Australian Illuminati, and we went, "Yes, Mr. Denyer. Yes, we will. We'll do whatever you say, Mr. Denyer."
Please, just as long as we have everlasting presence in this community. Yeah, no, it was Denyer. Emda was in the background as well.
Larry Emda. Also in the Australian Media Illuminati.
Yeah. And I believe at the time they were both sucking Koshy's toes.
Surprised we could hear him down the phone line, to be honest. Barely understand him. With a couple of pinkies in their mouth.
And anyway, before they could even finish, I got the wig on, mate. I was ready to go. And I'll tell you what, life has never been better since. Oh, it's been cushy. God.
Well, yeah, it's been cushy thanks to Koshy.
So anyways, this is just, I'm just letting you know
all right
what the people are saying out there, okay? So did John Cena last week become a part of the conspiracy, or did he just go?
Honestly, it's the kind of idea we'd pitch. If someone said, "Oh, I've got to present ideas for the best costume," if he went naked, you could do that.
Yeah, and him being like, "Oh, that's easy.
That's easy and funny.
That'll be easy, cheap. You know, sure."
And it's like when you've got a bod that ripped,
exactly.
As well, he wouldn't take anything to get him to agree to that. Be like,
he would
straight away. Get off. Yep, sure.
So anyways, it's up to you. You decide at matt.n.house.
You be the judge. Do your own research, all right? Don't rely on us. Do your own research. And now it's time for...
Name That Thing.
Yes, that's right. It is Australia's sixth favourite podcast radio game show. Name That Thing, in which I attempt to get you to name a thing via the way of headlines from around the world that I have spotted in the past week. Alex Dyson, you've previously only played this by yourself.
Yeah, it's been myself and producer Bron listening to the news stories Matt has brought, trying to take out the key lines and words and phrases to create either a person, place, movie, song, title, thing. And but today we're actually joined by Tom from Queensland. G'day, Tom.
Hey, g'day, boys. How you going?
Good, Tom. Where do we find you right now? What are you up to?
I'm in Cairns. I'm actually on my lunch break. And, it's absolutely pissing down rain outside. So, yeah, I'll be trying to stay out of the wet.
And what are you working? What are you doing?
I'm a wardsman at the hospital. So, yeah, pushing beds and saying hello to people who are sick and trying not get sick myself.
Oh, I love it, Tom. Good on you.
Doing good stuff for the people of Cairns.
I'd be careful around here because, the prize for winning this competition is pretty sick, bro. It is a Matt and Alex crumb bag.
Yeah. Do you need to carry things around when you work in the wards?
Yeah, you carry little people's belongings sometimes, mm-hmm. Paperwork. Yep. Medication. So, yeah, it would easily come in handy for
right.
that. Maybe a bit of a little water bottle.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure a water bottle fit in our crumb bag, unfortunately. But the other stuff, got a chapstick or something, mate. You just chuck it in there. You'll be 100% A-OK, provided you can work out what Matt O'Kine is talking about. Now, Matt, before we hear the headlines from you, what thing are we looking for?
We are looking for a movie.
All right.
All right, so here we go. This is a movie and...
Movie title.
Let's... Name That Thing.
Name That Thing.
That's right. This headline comes from Yahoo News and Fox 2. The headline is Riverview Gardens third graders ingested marijuana edibles.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
third graders.
That's right. Yeah, a couple of school kids. I think one brought the stuff to class thinking that it was just candy, shared it with all of the students, a lot of them. Ended up having to be taken home. Some were needed, some medical attention. And it just goes to show the police at in St. Louis, which is where this happened, said if you have these types of snacks, candies, or other items meant for adult consumption, it is critical that you keep them stored away from children.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, also, is the movie title isn't Cheech and Chong Up in Smoke, is it?
No.
Is it Cheech and Chong's next movie from 1980? Is it 1983's Cheech and Chong Still Smoking?
No, it's not, okay? Also, I'm talking about edibles.
Yeah.
So that's just something that you need to be aware of if that is your thing, okay? So these terrible things can happen. Please stay safe.
Yeah, and hopefully Tom in the wards up at Cairns Hospital doesn't have school children coming in.
It's a story that happens more often. Some kids ended up in ER late towards last year, the same thing happening. Here, one of the parents said, my daughter couldn't remember anything. She wasn't able to really walk or anything for a while. She was in tears. She thought she'd been kidnapped.
Oh, God.
She was tripping out. It's terrible. So you know, please stay safe. That's the first headline. Okay, Tom, the second headline.
Yes.
Hilary Duff shares sonogram of little stinker after announcing pregnancy. So this story... Well, this story is from...
What is a sonogram?
Okay, sonogram is a... Don't you work at a hospital? It's a... it's a... Like an ultrasound.
Okay.
Is
that the American term for an ultrasound?
I guess so. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure it's a medical term. Anyways, this is from News.
People turn up at your house and sing at your doorstep when your friends...
Sonogram.
Oh, is that a songogram?
Yeah, isn't that... Yeah, that's a sing-alongogram or something. Hilary Duff shared a picture, Instagram story. The 36-year-old shared an Instagram story of her upcoming bundle of joy. And with the little caption above it, she wrote, "Little stinker with the cute nose." So there you go.
Already.
No, it's a rough start to life, isn't names. It? Already teasing your kid. It's it'll be her fourth child, I believe. So very happy families all across sharing the love on Instagram.
Not so happy they are getting called little stinkers by their mum.
Well, just little stinkers gonna enjoy life with its siblings, Ponga, PU, and Yucko.
Woofter. Goodness me. All right. You got another story?
Here are your two. No, those are your two headlines. Hilary Duff shares sonogram of little stinker after announcing pregnancy, and Riverview Gardens third graders ingested marijuana edibles. What do you think it could be?
Oh, my God. Tom from Cairns.
Hit the timer. Let's go. You got 10 seconds. Hilary Duff's.
Talk through it out loud, Tom. What are you thinking?
Hilary Duff's little stinker.
Kung Fu Power, and you got Stinker, you got marijuana, you got weed, you got Hilary Duff. You're saying she's Stinker, and all I could think of was like, dude, where's my car, sort of thing. But
okay, it's not bad. But think about this: Hilary Duff's little stinker, and the ingested marijuana edibles.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy?
No, come on.
Sorry,
Ron,
Gary Oldman.
Ron, do you know what it is? Come on, the time's running out.
I really don't know.
The Inker.
The Inca Trail?
Okay, you're on something.
Gallipoli.
No, it's in the words. The words are there. The little stinker, and then the marijuana edibles.
Stinkhead, the Incredibles?
Yes!
Oh my God. That's nowhere near.
Yes.
Hang on.
Yes. Incredibles. Incredibles.
I tell you what, Hilary Duff's unborn child is not the only thing that pongs here, Matt O'Kine. That was your worst clue yet.
We need to retire this game. Yes! I swear to God.
No, we've only just begun, no. Team. This is where it starts getting interesting.
Boy.
Stinkeredibles. Thank you.
Stink. Edibles. Stinkeredibles.
There we go. Stinkeredibles. Stinkeredibles.
Wow. Stinkeredibles. All right, Tom, how do you feel about that?
Look, every time I hear the music of this game coming on, I think, really, are we really doing this again? Now being a part of it? Like, now being a part of it, it really does pong. and I've lived in, that's just not, that's, that, I don't know where you pulled that out from.
Okay, well, listen, Tom. Now you're a part of the problem, so you can't back away now, mate. Enjoy your crumb bag.
Thanks for playing, Tom. We'll send you a crumb bag to Cairns. I hope things are well. The rain stops for you up there, but until then, we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, boys. See you later.
I pity the fool.
I went to a friend's birthday party.
Yeah.
Booked a little karaoke night, right? It was actually quite funny. When I rocked up, we're meeting on the rooftop. It's like a 5-story thing. Level 3 is private karaoke rooms. Level 4 is like pub with an open karaoke public vibe. And the level 5 is a rooftop. So I go in, hit the level 5 of the elevator, go to meet everyone. But it stops on level 4 and the doors open. And the room has two women singing Shallow from, was it A Star Is Born? I'm of the deep head, watch as I dive in. There's one
full
spectator.
Full bloody chills. Yep, go.
One spectator, that's happening. The spectator turns around and I'm like, is that Rob from Comedy Republic? He looks at me, we lock eyes. I like pointed him, he points at me, and the doors of the elevator close. And I keep going.
So someone that you work with at Comedy Republic.
It had nothing to do with his birthday party. It was just standing there.
It was just standing in the middle of it.
Actually, because it turned out I ran into him later. I'm like, bro, that was very funny. What are you up to? He's like, oh, we're here because me and my sisters and some family, we'd all booked tickets to TLC. But I think we mentioned it on the show, TLC cancelled their Australian tour. I believe we said it was a great day for scrubs everywhere. Finally free to ride with TLC not in the country. But he said, with that happening, it's like, oh, we can get the money refunded or let's have a great day out. They booked a little Yarra River cruise and then went to karaoke and sung TLC songs themselves.
Damn.
So
there you go.
If the TLC aren't going to show up, we'll do it ourselves.
That's a day.
But went upstairs, had a good time with everyone. But it was somewhat saddened because in the group chat from the party today, the message went round, and this news is just coming out, like from yesterday, or like the last 2 days, we found out that on January 26, Shigeichi Nagishi, the original karaoke machine inventor, passed away.
Oh, no.
Did you know that?
No, Shigeichi.
1967 invented the Sparko box, which was the first device to facilitate what would become the wildly popular musical pastime.
And now he's gone.
Yeah.
They've gone.
Based in Tokyo, 100 years old, and just passed away. His family confirmed only recently that he passed away earlier in the year. But it turns out he invented it because he loved singing along to the radio and television programs, and eventually... someone was laughing at him, one of his staff members, because he just sing in his office. And then he realized, oh, damn, yes, I would sound better if I had a backing track.
Yes. Yeah, blame the music. Like, blame the instrumentals.
That's a bit rough, Shigeichi. And he's like, yeah, well, just if I had some music backing me up, maybe it would sound a little bit better. So we got reading this from a Pitchfork article, which was put out on the weekend to memorialize this particular event, saying he had an employee wire together a speaker, a tape deck, a microphone, and he tested a prototype. And after the trial run, he took this MacGyvered machine home and, yeah, convened history's first karaoke party with his wife and children. So then took it home, had a karaoke party. He said, this is going to catch on. He said the name of it should be karaoke, right, which is a contraction. Like, he put together the two words that means empty and orchestra in Japan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he did that, but then when he said, let's distribute this, that people said, we can't call it karaoke because it sounds too much like the word kanoki, which in Japan is the word for coffin. They're like, we can't be having a coffin box.
Coffin machine.
At the front of a party.
Although, mind you, I've done a few tunes on the karaoke where I wouldn't mind it to have turned into a coffin. Hoo-wee, cart me out of here, please.
Yeah, there's a fine line between herd and hearse. Or should I say verse and hearse? Anyway, there's a joke in there somewhere.
That joke would sound better with a backing track, actually. Can we get can we organize something? You guys just don't get it. But anyway, he called it the Sparko box. And then from there, there was other sort of inventions after the time. But yeah, certainly honored as one of the inventors of modern karaoke in this world. Oh. Shigeki Nagishi, Valet.
Well, Valet, Shigeki Nagishi.
I was trying to think of a song that we could sing to do that. I was like, you know, love a parody here at Matt Lennox All Day Breakfast. The closest I could get was singing Alien Ant Farm's cover of Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson. Singing karaoke. But I couldn't couldn't come up with the rest of the lyrics. It's actually quite a dark song. Did you read the actual lyrics of that? It's rough as.
Okay, this is... Whew, time to end this show.
Yep.
Can you press the button for me, please?
Let's go. This is All Day Breakfast. Bye-bye.
That's it. The All Day Breakfast kitchen is closed. Got something to add to the show? Slide into our DMs at matt.and.alex.